There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. And by the way, still y'all chiming in on the text line with answers to Leanna's question from the Facebook page. And that's good, but make sure to put them on the Facebook page as well. Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. The question is, if there was a candle that was Mobile scented, what would it smell like? Y'all been very amusing. So y'all keep them up on the Facebook page. We'll talk about those. All right. Without further ado, he's award-winning journalist at Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. Scott Johnson joining us. Hey, Scott.
Hey, what's going on?
Man, that's why I'm calling you. Got to find out. So you had this headline that is, by the way, something that I've talked about many years on this station. I focus, you know, like... Because I'm a small business owner, I'm like, hey, where's my tax abatement and all that? So, I do have an angle on this. But you had a headline, the state discloses $14.5 million in new tax abatements. Who's getting abated, man? It's not us. It's not FM Talk. I don't think it's Lanyap.
So the Alabama Department of Commerce discloses kind of when they want to. They'll disclose when they have agreed and contracted with a large, typically larger corporations that are bringing some kind of volume of jobs. I mean, and I say to some volume, we're ranging in 20 to 200. But they'll disclose these agreements on their website. I keep track of it. I don't know if anyone else actually monitors it. I mean, I open it every day, so I try to keep up with it. But yeah, so the latest round, they just overnight just added $14.5 million in abated taxes with, so that's income tax credits and job tax credits. And this is for a couple of defense companies. We have a lumber company and an automotive manufacturing company. I don't know if anybody will recognize these names. Redwire Defense. We got Raider Targetry. And then we have the lumber manufacturer, I think it's a Seattle company. Raider Targetry is actually a pretty interesting one. They make remote controlled targets for government military training.
That's probably pretty good. That's kind of cool business, yeah. Like stuff to shoot at.
Yeah, the picture I've got down there is they're pulling around this fake cannon. A fake tank, and I guess military will train and just shoot at this tank that they're pulling around.
At least that seems useful. I mean, if you're going, but you can't, if you're trying to learn to shoot tanks, probably the bullseye targets, you need a real tank.
Yeah. So it's always interesting stuff. The other company is kind of into the drone and radar. That's Redwire Defense. That's a Jacksonville, Florida-based company. So that's another thing, too, is you'll have a bunch of out-of-state firms, and that's what they leverage these tax incentives to do, is to recruit industry. So a lot of times they will be outside companies, and then but they will incentivize expansions too. So 2A USA is actually that's an auto manufacturing company. They build parts and fabricate parts, but they actually have a presence in Lee County already. They just got a $5 million abatement for some expansion they're doing.
So, I mean, this has been going, and it's nice to know there's somebody that opens this up every day and looks at it. I'm glad you're doing it because, I don't do that much of it. But it brought it back up, I guess, to mind, and I have complained about this for a long time. Not that there's a certain amount of abatement and deals that need to be made. I just don't know, and maybe somebody from Montgomery can reassure me, that we ever say no. you know, they get to a point where we go, you know what, those are, well, go to South Carolina if you don't do it, and go, well, okay, then let then go to South Carolina.
Yeah, and that's questions I have as well. And if that is a part, economic development is outside of the public Public Meetings Act, so a lot of that stuff can happen behind closed doors in executive sessions. And you know, I have seen instances where, I mean, we know a project is coming, they've already announced it, but then the state goes ahead and awards a tax abatement anyway, months after the fact. Why are we doing that if we already have a commitment to come here? I don't, you know, questions I have, so...
Well, me too. So I'm glad you're asking them. But, you know, when I said this kind of came back to mind, because imagine this. I know it's shocking to you. We've talked about data centers for the last few hours and hours and hours and hours on this station. And one of the things that's coming out on the Calvert facility, I know it's different places, but Calvert facility, that they're not being given any abatements, right?
Yeah. Interestingly, and then there's a couple things here. I mean, we have, you know, juxtaposed with the Meta Platforms data centers in Montgomery. And I mean, think about this. There was no protest, no blow-up when those were announced. So think about how much has changed in the last couple years. And honestly, the biggest blow-up happened here with the solar farms in Stockton. Mm-hmm. And that was a proxy war. I mean, this is a data proxy conflict with the solar farms. And that, I mean, that just got so, I mean, that was explosive. People are still upset. People are still fighting about that. But, you know, something has changed where the public sentiment on these data centers has definitely turned. I mean, Montgomery got a $42 million tax abatement on their project there. And it's an $800 million project, minimal amount of jobs. I mean, these things don't really require a whole lot of people working in them.
I think is their Achilles heel. I truly still believe that's one of the Achilles heels, that there's not enough jobs to go around, even though this place is supposed to hire, I think, 100 or something like that, but there's not enough jobs to go around to keep everybody quiet.
Yeah, and you know, you can argue about the tax benefits, but if you're signing away a bulk of those in a tax abatement, you know, you kind of undercut yourself. So maybe that's some of the reason why there was no appetite to even pursue a tax abatement on the Calvert site. If they did, I'm knowing the Mobile County Commission, I think they would have probably not. You know, they probably would have given them some a hard time. If they did, just on this issue, they were very, you know, the county commission particularly, I feel like, is really in tune with the public. So they always have been that way. Mm-hmm. When I've been covering them, their ears are open. And also, this is technology we're talking about. Technology depreciates rapidly. If this is a 30-year tax abatement program,
yep,
and the 30 to 40-year lifespan on a data center, what are we doing?
I thought the same thing. Yeah. That it's all on the front and it's wasted.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is, the Calvert thing is different, like you pointed out, because there are different scenarios for different data centers in Alabama. The one in Calvert is the one that doesn't, you know, and maybe others, but this one doesn't have the tax abatement. The pushback, and maybe if the solar thing would have happened before the Montgomery thing, you know, I think that was truly a turning point.
Yeah. And it had all the hallmarks of everything people are complaining about with data centers right now. There was a non-disclosure agreement with in some form with the Baldwin Alliance. So there was apparently, you know, if Baldwin's Alliance was involved, I'm sure there was talks of some kind of tax program or tax incentive happening. I don't know if that was strictly site location. I mean, ultimately, there was no tax credits awarded there, or not yet. And you see the same thing, you know, blowing up with the Bessemer data center right now. There was a very controversial non-disclosure agreement there. Nothing to the extent I think ever happened here, but that was, you know, they had agreed to destroy records, and that just sounds terrible. So really interesting. I mean, I really think the public sentiment on all this is swung so far, and not really sure. It knows no political allegiance.
That's what's interesting, right? Yeah, because I mean, your story, and y'all can check this out at landatmobile.com. Tupperville data centers, Tupperville full speed ahead. Jones urges a pause. It's picked up now in the gubernatorial cycle as a plank of a platform to be for full speed ahead or waiting. But this is something that I talk to a lot of people every day, that there are tons of people that are Democrats that don't like it, tons of people that are Republicans that don't like it as well. It's a, you know, I've been trying to go through this over the last couple of weeks and look at the logic of it. But as a populist issue, this thing's big.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm wondering, you know, so Tupperville is the clearly the front runner, the favorite in this race.
Yep.
In a large part, he gets to decide what the battle lines are. And he's to come out and make data centers one of his talking points, I mean, obviously has led Doug Jones to jump on that opportunity. And it's just an odd way to, it just seems like an odd battlefront to try and carry on. It's just super unpopular one way. You could argue that Tupperville's position is maybe more honest in terms of like, well, we have to work within. I mean, Doug Jones has that same kind of approach too. We let's look at these things and seriously consider them. But it's just why? But why make that the issue? Why make that the talking point in the public news cycle for several weeks when it's such an explosive issue? It's odd to me.
Yeah, I don't know if it changes the calculus when people come out to vote, but it is. It's something that is not like you get pick issues, and I can tell you, you know, by the RRD behind somebody's name or how they vote, what they think about that issue. This one I can't. This one absolutely is interesting because there's different people from different political stripes that feel the same way or feel opposite.
Yeah. In some ways, it kind of reminds me about the mud dumping issue here locally too. Like that's a more local issue, but the same way, Republican, Democrat, nobody likes it. And actually, that's one of the issues I cannot get Tupperville's team to respond to me on. They will not answer
really
where they stand on the mud dumping issue. I've sent out multiple requests for comment, and I've not gotten anything. So I'm curious to where he falls. I don't know if he's we have smart figures
and low hanging fruit politically. I just say I'm against it.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, we read these stories. Shamari Figures is introducing legislation, pushing Mobile Baykeepers, advocating for the Baykeeper position to stop mud non-dumping. And all these stories, you'll see him his name mentioned, Katie Britt's name mentioned, but Senator Tupperville hasn't made comments one way or the other. I know that some people have met with him, but there's no public record of him saying one way or another where he falls on that one. So
interesting. As we're talking about, just a minute or two left here, but story just up over at landatmobile.com. Talk about a transition team. I mean, you know, he is the odds-on favorite, the governor-elect. Tommy Tupperville has named a person. I went to high school with this guy. He's been on my show and Jeff's show on this station over the years. Republican political consultant, John Gray, is now been tapped by Tupperville to do what?
Yeah, he's going to be a part of a 9-member, they called it the Golden Age Action Group, Action Team, the GAT. It's a DOGE style committee task force, and they're looking to, you know, they're looking to review the government agencies to find waste, duplication. They've kind of highlighted the dropout rate, and specifically they want to see what they can do there. So there's probably some Department of Education reforms they want to make. John Gray does work currently for the Tupperville campaign. He's appointed Jason Dufakis, his campaign manager, John Gray, who's the campaign consultant, and then, seven other business people and like did a couple lawyers, and then some private industry. So, it has all the hallmarks again of the DOGE campaign by Donald Trump. Tuberville has, you know, been wildly, you know, enthusiastic about the Doge program, very complimentary about it, and so this definitely has the feel that he's wanting to push those same kind of review and scrutiny on our state levels.
Y'all can check out all the details over at landatmobile.com. Scott, tell them how to get signed up.
Yeah, again, you just you click on our article, it will prompt you to subscribe. Again, landyachtmobile.com. You can subscribe for $1 for the first 30 days, and it's well worth the money. We're trying to keep content flowing all the time.
And by the way, are Rob and Ashley, are they giving you a new bookshelf behind your desk there for the awards? I mean, to display.
my last one broke, so too much hardware on it. So yeah.
I like that. Yeah. What a flex. Say, hey, these shelves can't hold anymore, boss. I need another bookshelf.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
Good stuff. There he goes. Scott Johnson with Landhip, landhipmobile.com. We're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 125 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106. I think I was talking about it. What was it? I guess the end of last week, talking about my buddy Forrest at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. And they've also got the app now. I talked about how great their ability to go search out used inventory is and get match you with the right boat and all that. They got an app for that as well. And you can see the information on their website, bluewateryachtsales.net. But also, I just want to point this out. You need the service work done. Something didn't go right during the rodeo or whatever on the boat. And not just your engines. Obviously, Yamaha engines, Yamaha MasterTech on site. They also work on Mercury's. They could do your Mercury warranty. They got the parts. They got the parts for everything for Yamaha's and Mercury's as well, even if you do your own work. Kelsey in the parts department can always get you what you need. But in addition to just your engines, they do general repair and maintenance on the boat. And that's everything from bow to stern. And they do marine electrical. Have you ever been? There's levels of frustration in this world. And I would say in teenage daughters and marine electrical rank kind of very close to each other on my list. If you've been fighting, why is this floodlight not coming on? Why don't I have power to the running lights? Why do I have a short over here? Why has it been there, lived it? They've got those services as well. So you got that stuff going on. You pull the boat in just like you would for any other repair and maintenance service, and they can work on the marine electrical, which is saves you a fewer gray hairs by the end of the day doing that. To set an appointment to drop off your boat, whatever you need done to it, 476-2699. But all that info is on their website, bluewateryachtsales.net. So go by and see them. And like I said, a ton of services, but just the one that stood out to me too. If you've been there, you know if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. The marine electrical. bringing back up nightmares. All right. From the text line here, a named texter says, Tubbs ROI on stock trades is right up there with Pelosi. Follow the money. There's a lot of moving around quickly for anything AI related and any beneficial regulations. I still go back to, and I don't have any stock trades. I don't have any angles on this. I'm just somebody asking a question on the logical arguments against the data centers. And like specifically the one in Calvert doesn't have a lot of handles on it for me because there's, unlike all these other projects in the state, or many of the projects, there's no tax abatement. The key question I have asked is, three or four different ways? Now, I understand the arguments made against the AI and why they're having, that's a should be a robust discussion. But that comes from the data centers aren't doing the AI. The data centers are storage units, right? Somebody out there needs to, same way the storage unit company doesn't care what you're storing. I don't think, unless it's explosive or, you know, leaks or so. They provide space. And that's what the data centers do, provide space for these companies to store on those servers. My one issue I've asked a few different ways, and once again, I'd love to have a, even though I know we're, the deflection is that we're capped in rates till 2029 because of that part of the, that was the only good thing out of the bogus PSC restructuring deal that came out of the legislature this year. But will, I mean, just somebody in who's in charge of this, can you put out a statement, will our power rates increase because of data centers? And if it's no, I don't know what the issue is. I really don't. If it's no, then I don't know what the... So, but it's become a huge issue. I think it'll, we'll hear a whole bunch about it in political ads between now and November out there. So, hey, we'll pick this up when we come back. 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Save the show brought to you by my buddy Jeff Stone, who, by the way, just full circle, is one of the commenters over at facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, talking about what the what Leanna had asked. If there was a Mobile scented candle, what would it smell like? We'll get back to that in a second. Jeff is one of them on there. We saw you, man. Hey, at Stone Arms, right now, that dream you've had about purchasing a silencer is now less expensive and is happening for people every day at Stone Arms. Now, the way this works, I did this a couple of years ago, and I could tell you back then how quickly, how easily it was done. I had sat for a long time with a manila file folder on my desk, and I do like parts of the, you know, to apply for the tax stamp, right, to be able to get a suppressor. Well, he computerized it, made it easy. Jeff did out of the shop. It's a... He calls it a kiosk. It's like a computer on the wall. You put the information in. Everything goes in the right place. It does the fingerprints, does the picture, everything to send off to the feds. But now you're saving $200 from when I did it, because when the big, beautiful bill was passed, they removed the tax, the $200 on it. So you still need to do the application, but you don't pay the $200. So you're up on me by $200. Stone Arms staff there can walk you through this process, get you in and out in about 30 minutes. I think I finished in 20. Show off. And average approval time right now is 2 weeks or sooner, although Jeff told me he's getting some people 2 days, 48 hours, they're getting back and green lighting it. And lucky for all of us, a huge selection of silencers plus the firearms accessories all in stock. New items arrive daily. If you want to take a look at what's available, stonearmsinc.com has a lot of it, but new stuff comes in all the time. So stop in and see them in person. They're just about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport. They're on the south side, on the left side if you're driving west. Stonearmsinc.com, or find them on Facebook, Stone Arms Inc., and check it out. And just, I do have a theory, though, a running theory, that the ease now, the ease of getting your green light to shoot suppressed is, well, it's paid for by ammunition manufacturers. It just makes it, I'm just telling you, you start shooting suppressed, you run through more rounds because it's just more fun. You don't have the hearing protection on, and it's cool. And if you shoot subsonic, well, that's a whole other conversation we'll have. All right, and speaking of the smells of Mobile, got a couple people in here on the talkback feature on the FM Talk 106.5 app. This from Chainsaw.
Paper mill.
Paper mill. I think that's, yes. I got a lot of paper. One of my buddies texted me, how about paper mill potpourri? Captain Doug said this.
If Mobile had a smell, the smell would be State Docks coal yard, bunker fuel, and smoke-filled back rooms.
you went bunker fuel. I like that, too. You don't hear people reference bunker fuel enough. Let's see. Haywood said, scented candle of wet leaves carried by sold air. Now, that's the stuff that I deal with. That's what the ladies buy. Like, you could sell that one, Haywood. You know, because the one I saw, like, in the house was like, I don't know, the scent of the candle was like fog and imagination or some crap. Like, you know, what? What does that smell like? Tell me something smells like cinnamon or something, you know. I used to make fun of tea tree oil that they put in the shampoos, but I kind of got into where I like that smell a lot. Or peppermint or something like that. But so, but this one, I think you could, Heywood, I think you could sell that one. Wet leaves carried by salt air. The ladies would be like, oh, that's fantastic. Let's see. Bucky Beaver said, I don't think the majority of people in Alabama want to want a retread like Doug Jones, in my opinion. No, the idea that Doug Jones is going to win this thing, I think that's far-flung. I think it will be interesting. I think it's more interesting when you have some competition. But I do think this data center thing is an interesting wrinkle. This is, yes, I pay more attention to these things because there's so many things that we go through discussion. Well, the Democrats believe this and the Republicans believe that at any level, federally, state, municipal, these are the things. But this one is different. And and so for Senator Tuberville Coates to be so vocal, not just like, where I am with it is I'm trying to figure out what's the problem. And I understand the whole discussion of what we've had many times about what these could be used for, but I'm talking about building the storage unit is what they are for data for these companies. The Calvert situation, not a single dollar of tax abatement. That's so they moved here without being paid to do it. Okay. Now, others in the state have different deals, like Scott talked about. But Tuberville being not just saying, oh, yeah, I'm not against it. He's for it, right? He's for it. Doug Jones saying, well, the quote, it wasn't completely no either. It was very political. He put out this op-ed and over, of course, at AL.com. He said the state should pause new data center construction until stronger guardrails are in place. That's, you could read that and say, that might be wise, right? Then again, I could play the other side of the coin and say, well, everybody else is going to get the data centers. We're going to be left with none. But this now is what Doug Jones is saying is lining up with a lot of people I know that are Republican voters. So is that, will it be enough for somebody to change their vote in the gubernatorial? I don't know. I mean, will there be some people? Sure. Is it enough to make a movement when we're watching election night results here at FM Talk? I don't think so. But it is interesting because it's not just amen says the chorus, right? Like somebody, you get the campaigning and be like, you go to a Republican whatever meeting and you say this about lower taxes and you know you're going to get an amen. You know, you on the Democrat side, you can go and, DSA stuff, that's the Democrat Socialists. I'm talking about old line Democrats. Say something about health care and get an amen, right? But this one's different. And how this gets played out in ads, if you're Doug Jones... Sorry, but if you're Doug Jones, which actually I didn't, when he was senator, now I found out then when he was not senator and he hit the MSNBC circuit, how left he was on things. But the image he presented on the air with me, I was like, this is a kind of Democrat. Obviously he won, but there's a lot of reasons he won. But I said, that's the kind of Democrat that could probably win some places in Alabama, what he was saying. It was more of that moderate Democrat. And then he's out of office and it's left. But that kind of nuance, I do not think it changes. I don't think Doug Jones becomes our next governor. But it does make it a little more interesting because I imagine Senator Tuberville Coates is going to be speaking to some group and somebody's going to ask him. I mean, so many of y'all are very anti-data center. So if you're at an event, would you ask him about it? Why do you support it so much? Why are you full speed ahead? I think that's I think it's interesting. Let's see. Michael said, I thought it was funny that Sarah Connor from Terminator was thrown in an asylum for attacking the data centers that built Skynet. Yep. I'm going out on a limb, but I think it's the root of people's fears, or it could just simply be that they're turning the livestock and the frogs gay. It could be that as well. I did not enter this discussion like going, okay, here's what I need people to know and think about this. I absolutely have open-eyed this and going, okay, not as a talk show host, as just an Alabamian. And you put these things in areas that are already of heavy industry. other than, and I've been told by, you know, you've heard the interviews I've had on the show that these are going to be closed loop systems for the water, so they're not taking water all the time. As long as I know that, do I trust? Well, I got to verify. I don't trust, and then I verify, and I might trust later that it's not going to increase our power rates. Because, I mean, Alabama Power has done a great job of increasing power rates without data centers. But if I'm told that it's not going to increase, I don't know what on building them. Once again, I understand the argument about the Skynet and what it'd be used for and all the, but I'm saying just building this storage. Once again, they just have a storage place. They don't care what you store in it, kind of thing. That part of it, what is the fight? If it does not, now if it increases our power rate, then I'm going to be against it. I think somebody had asked on the morning show today why they couldn't produce their own. Not a bad question. You know, right now what's happening with the question about the solar panels, right? In Stockton, is people said, oh, well, that's going to go, like they pictured a big extension cord running, you know, up 65 going to Montgomery, plugging into that data center up there. It's not that. The solar is driven by companies like Meta wanting to say they're not a net contributor to greenhouse gases, carbon-produced electricity, right? So that's, it's them patting themselves on the back, offering this up. So that power from that solar, it was described, would just go into the grid down here, and it would just abate. It would swap for the carbon fuel that is producing the power at the facility they're using in Montgomery. Now, I mean, can they produce their own power? How big of a solar field would it take? Now, that'd be a different story. How big would you have to have solar panels to power this one they're projecting here for Calvert? I don't know. Wait till they start talking about, well, we can put a nuclear power station. They made them small now. We'll put one there. Now, I think that's going to raise some eyebrows. Jason says, will we end up with more data centers or vape shops? Man, why do you ask the hard questions? I'm going to right now just say more vape shops. But if vape shops start lessening in popularity, will data centers move in? And if we do quantum computing and have smaller footprint for this, will data centers move into vacant vape shops? You know, the way that the money lending places like to move into like an old Taco Bell or something like that? Well, you see, Smoke Master 420 High Boy shop turned into the new Beacon facility. Just made that name up. That's good. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah. Right, 151 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Thank you. I took a second here for the news break to put the old Android phone, that's right, Android phone in a new case here. I've been walking around for over 24 hours with my phone not in the case. And I'm pretty sure I was going to destroy it, but I got it back in a case. Which, by the way, I got a pretty tough case for this phone. As you know, Yeti's got to do every. What if Yeti made? Not like I need to give those boys any ideas, but if Yeti made a phone case, it's an overbuilt phone case, and it said Yeti. How many would they sell? Maybe they're already doing it. Maybe I just hadn't seen the ad for it. But you know, if you drop your phone with some regularity. It might be me. Now, I'm pretty good, though. I drop it, I'll catch it with my foot or something like that to keep it from really hitting. But like 24 hours without a case on it, I was pretty sure I would destroy the thing. All right, a couple stories I want to get to before we wrap up for today's show. This one, here we go. This is from AlabamaDailyNews.com. Now, we have talked about the prison construction, right? And they had allocated the money and they're going to build two. And they said, well, there's not enough money to build two. We can just build one. Well, all right. Headline here ADOC says there's a, quote, reasonable concern, end quote, that the Elmore County prison construction might not be done on time. Okay, now they just had the one, right? They just had the one to build, and that may not be done on time. Remember, they told us they're going to get it done, they get two. And now, I love this term. I'm going to start using that. Well, there's a reasonable concern. Said lawmakers expected the 4,000-bed Elmore Specialized Men's Facility, now named after, of course, Alabama's longest continuously serving governor, that'd be Kay Ivey, to be she got her own correction facility, to be finished by October 15th. That deadline they had reset, they moved it back 5 months after the original estimate. Now they're saying, once again, reasonable concern that they won't get it done on time. Well, even not on, it's already not on time, but even on the new on time. They were going to build two. They're going to get them done for the budget. They're going to get, and now here they go. Back in 2021. Okay, remember this. So this is not like it happened last week. Back in 2021, the money came up and say they could borrow $785 million for the two facilities and then use $400 million of the ARPA money, the American Rescue Act plan money. 2021, they passed the legislation authorizing $1.2 billion, which, you know, I mean, to some folks, I mean, if you're in the data center world, it's not a lot of money, but to me, that's a lot of money. It was going to build two, the one here, the Escambia County one, and then the one that they decided to go with here, you know, that's now not going to be on time. So, you know, they said, yeah, they're going to have the Elmore County and the Escambia County one, and okay, now we're down to Elmore County. Then we're going to have it done by this aunt. Let's delay it five, but aunt, we're not going to do it again. I mean, this is where we are. So so they're not going to get it done. So the idea, they told us they're going to get two built for this much money by this time, and now we can't get one built for that money on time. Reasonable concern. Y'all use that in your, hey boss, I got reasonable concern this won't be done on time. So we'll keep an eye on it. This, as we have always, the stories that come in about the Gulf Shores International Airport have been very exciting stories, right? They're growing the number of people. All these things are positive stories. But then this one was the first one that I didn't see was, like most stories you get out there is like, oh, we added another airline. We added this many people. This comes from WKRG. Says, during a recent security check at Gulf Shores International Airport, something unusual, to say the least. The airport director, Jesse Fosnall, said, that would have to be the weirdest thing in our short existence we've ever come through TSA. It was actually in somebody's luggage. There were two grapefruit size and three over an inch in size. What were those? They were cannonballs. Cannonballs in the luggage. Now, you know you're going to get the luggage scanned, right? And I guess it probably stood out to somebody at TSA, this may not be normal. So they opened up the bags, and it's cannonballs. And now it says investigators believe they were taken from Fort Morgan at the historical site. So we've got like a relics thief goes to Fort Morgan. They, use metal detectors, which is not allowed on the place, get them, and then they got them in their bags, taking them back, I don't know where, St. Louis or something? Said an unidentified passenger said she picked up the Civil War ammo at a roadside stand. Now, maybe I'm missing something. Have you been to a roadside stand? Like, I'll go and I'll get some watermelons and some okra, you know, and some Chilton County peaches and all that good stuff I love. I've not seen Civil War cannonballs and ammo at the roadside stand. So I don't know, but that's stood out to me. So there's a vector for smuggling Civil War artifacts out through the international airport. Hey, speaking of airports too, and to talk about the second half of this week, on Thursday, so we'll go on Friday, we'll go backwards. Friday, because he's got a lot to do with the airport now, former mayor of the city of Mobile, Sandy Stimson, joins me. So that'll be noon. And then Thursday, we're mayored up this week. Thursday at noon, current mayor of the city of Mobile, Spiro Chirigatis, is going to join me as well. So that's all. We're mayored up on Thursday and Friday on the show. So prepare yourselves. But we'll ask about airport stuff. But I thought that was interesting. And maybe I'll get a text from somebody. The weirdest thing they've ever pulled out of a bag, and I'm guessing what people are going to say, but Civil War cannonball ammo took the cake. They're saying, look for rock form for phone cases. Okay. So I didn't see this earlier. Let me get this out quickly. And we've got a great chapter here. CB Carl said, Sean, happy National Buffalo Soldiers Day. What a great contribution those heroes had for our great republic. So I agree. And we've got a chapter right here in Mobile. All right, Paul Feinbaum next. I'll do it again tomorrow.